This episode is brought to you by Skillz, the world leader in mobile esports. Play the games you love and win real cash prizes. Go to Skillz with a Z, SKILLZ.com/frogpants for your iOS or Android device. That's Skillz with a Z, and download your favorite free games. When you make a deposit, Skillz will double it. And when you use the promo code frogpants, you'll get an additional $10 in free bonus cash. That's Skillz.com/frogpants.
Man, was Ernest Saves Christmas not the best?
Coming up on TMS, dog ate my sandwich.
How are your shadow tactics?
Shave and a haircut.
Savage elephant farts.
I'm glad you got to say that one. Sheep and people.
People. Richard Marx did the right thing.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Easy Feet makes me feel a lot more confident when wearing my strappy shoes.
Back to Pokemon Go.
The Morning Stream. I'm a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar.
Hello, everybody, and well, why am I playing that song? And this is the beginning. It's all backwards today. It shouldn't have been that, you know? It should have been this. There you go. Hey. TMS, everybody. That giant face and head that the live people see on the screen is today's co-host. He's a guest co-host. It's Brian Dunaway again, everybody. Brian Dunaway.
Everything is backwards. I got my goatee going on and everything.
Yeah. How's it hanging for you there, buddy? What are you doing this week? I feel like we just did this, but it's actually been a while.
Right, it's kind of to the left a little bit, but there, I'm adjusted. It's back to the right side. Hey, man, this week is Christmas week for me.
Is it?
And, yeah.
Well, it is for all of us, I suppose, isn't it? At some point, right?
If we're into that Christmas.
If you're into it, listen, there's a war on Christmas, Brian. I don't know if you're familiar with
that's
that.
That's what Kirk Cameron keeps saying, but hell if I've seen it.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron, Mike Huckabee, and a few others believe very strongly that we must be vigilant in our war that is being waged. Yeah, it's being waged on Christmas on a constant basis, certainly this time of year, or not at all, and it's complete bunk. How about that? Because I don't believe it for a second. In fact,
there's a war on my bank account.
Yeah, there's a war. I mean, look, if what they mean is that if they're talking about the commercialization of Christmas, hey, I got news for them. Welcome to the last 100 years. Okay. Right. So you might be used to that by now. You weren't even alive when this began. So don't act like this is new stuff. If what you mean is someone's trying to end Christmas, well, I don't see it. My Christmas starts in like October.
I think most of us, the reference to the political correctness of, you got to say the right things. You got to say the happy holidays, and you can't say Christmas, and you can't put Christ in Christmas, and you can't take it out and just.
You know what I think? I think you can do whatever you want.
Right.
I think you can say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, or put a fork in the donkey's anus. You can say whatever you want.
Hey, you know, we have a lot of churches where I'm at in South Carolina. You do too. You live in Utah. So
sure.
We got a lot of Southern Christian churches around here, and they always have great signs. And some of the signs I get argumentative with. And one of them I got argumentative with the other day because I was driving by and it says, "You can't spell Christmas." And I'm like, "Yeah, I can spell Christmas." And it said, "Without Christ." And I was like, "Yeah, okay."
Well, yeah, because it's a freaking word. See, I hate little sayings like that because they minimize the point. If you are living a life where you are putting Jesus at the middle of everything, that's great, dude. Freaking go for it. I think that is so awesome. But aren't you also glad that somehow tangentially connected to this weird holiday that we have that has got lots of fun pagan stuff like trees and fat guys in red suits and everything? Isn't it nice that other people can celebrate it in their own way too? Everyone just enjoy themselves. It's Christmas. It's fruitcake and turkey and stuff. So just go, open a present, buy somebody a thing, drink an eggnog. Is that what you do? You drink an eggnog.
Yeah, you drink a whole eggnog. That's a bad idea, man. That's a horrible idea. Tell you what, though, my favorite part of Christmas is the pagan tradition of bringing the tree inside the house. That is my favorite.
Hold on a minute. Do you guys do you go out and cut something down, or what do you do?
Absolutely. We go out and cut something down, and then we come home, and for like 20 minutes of the drive home, I sing Oh Christmas Tree like Ernest does, and Ernest says Christmas. Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree. It's over and over again.
Just over and over, like this. I have it right here if you want to hear it. You want to hear it?
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
What?
Here we go.
Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree. Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree. Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree.
Now, we made a point on that episode of Film Sack, which airs this weekend, that you sound a lot like Ernest sometimes.
Ernest P. Worrell.
And you didn't seem sometimes. Like super offended by that. You seemed okay with it.
I'm fine with that. I love Jim Varney, so I'll take that as a compliment.
All right.
Plus Slinky the dog, right?
Yeah, for sure. No, he's great. And didn't they in 3, they used a bunch of old lines they never used before?
I didn't see 3. I turned it off.
3's good.
3's horrible. You know we've discussed this.
No. 3, but wait, have we?
Yeah, this is a whole thing.
We have a Minority Report problem with Toy Story 3? I don't remember that.
Toy Story 3 was the most depressing Toy Story 3, or Toy Story period. It was just so freaking heavy-handed. I did not enjoy myself.
Well, it was tying up a lot of bows and stuff, although there is a 4th on the way, which kind of bums me out. But
right.
I think 3, I thought 3 was pretty special, man. I really liked 3.
It was special, but when I watch Toy Story, I do it for the joys, not the sads.
For the laughs and the snakes in the boot and all that, right?
Right. But they're doing the same thing with Cars.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You've seen the latest one?
Yeah, that's pretty dark. After this, everything changes or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
McQueen is all damaged and in the wall, and then the Tom Cruise's lady says, "Let me have the car, Cole," and get the movies mixed up, I'm pretty sure.
You know, it'd be great.
But it's a good time.
This would be great if McQueen has like a horrible accident at some NASCAR thing.
Right.
It'd be awesome if when it was done, the hood was permanently bent to the side a little bit. Kind of like Owen Wilson, who plays the voice. Don't you think? Like his nose.
I think that would be smart.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
I'd be totally down with that.
Yeah, that'd be something that'd be cool. All right, so Brian's here with us today, taking the place of Brian Nibbett, who is currently, actually right now, in the waiting room, probably. His wife's having Tina's having her procedure today, a lumpectomy, as we're all aware. We are wishing her the best, sending her all the best possible vibes, so that this goes without a hitch and great, and I'm sure that it will. But thanks, dude, for sitting in again. You know,
absolutely
taking up the space. I appreciate it. You know, one Brian is one thing, but two Brians, why that's something special, really.
I don't want to kick a man when he's down, but his space is kind of smelly.
I know.
I had to bring in some Febreze.
No, it reeks. You need Febreze and you need that. There's the other stuff that's real good.
It's not really a bad smell. It's just kind of,
it's lived
it's
in.
It's like Fritos up in here.
No, that's a bad smell.
Oh, yeah, right. Unless you're like, you know, hungry for some Fritos. And then
well,
it's
no,
a great
if
smell.
You want Fritos, sure. But otherwise, Fritos and 12-year-old prepubescent feet are basically the same thing.
Fritos smell great when you open in the bag, man. But if you're in a car and you smell Fritos and then suddenly you turn around, you realize it's feet and not Fritos.
Yeah. Junior, put your shoes on, man.
That's a disappointment.
You're reeking up the minivan. All right. Let's talk about something happened to me yesterday. I was this is a real bummer. So I had this really great opportunity to interview and talk with friend of the show and voice actor extraordinaire and member of the Critical Role team over there at Geek & Sundry, Liam O'Brien. And if that doesn't sound familiar, he's the voice of Illidan Stormrage. He played War in that one game whose name I forgot. I forgot the name of that game. Damn it. And many, 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 many other things. If you've watched anime in this country that has been dubbed, you've likely heard his voice or at least been a part of his direction of said voice. So he's a big deal, and I was excited to talk to him, and we're old friends, so it made, you know, it was an easy conversation. But here's the problem. Right before I went down to have this interview with Liam, my wife, in all of her greatness, had come home from where she teaches preschool, what she's doing this year, which I haven't really talked about, but anyway, that's a different story. She comes home and she makes this amazing bacon and turkey club sandwich, homemade, big stacked fresh thing on the table. It's there with some fresh veggies and like some kind of juice unit thing, and it's
juice
like I don't know what to call it, but she made this really nice meal, this lunch that just looked amazing, and I thought, oh, this is gonna be great. And then my phone rang and I went, oh, it's Liam. Oh, did I lose Brian? Brian, you there? I think I lost Brian. Ah, damn it.
So okay, the last thing I heard was juice unit.
All right, juice unit. So she made me this amazing food, and I got the call. Ring, ring, ring. Oh, shoot, it's Liam. I have to take this. She goes, don't worry, this will all keep. I said, great. So she pushed it up the table a little bit because we have a dog, and we don't want the dog to get up there and eat the food. So she pushes it out of the way. And my dog's a big, sweet, lovely dog, and she likes to sit and look at you and lick you and wants to be a part of your life. But when there's bacon involved, all of her scruples go down the shitter, all right? So I go downstairs. I do this interview with Liam. It's great. It's like 15 minutes at the most. I come upstairs, and waiting at the top of the stairs is my dog in her little Christmas sweater. Because she's it's cold out. You know, it's been snowing and stuff.
Oh, that's stupid.
And it's super stupid. And she looks at me with this face of like, hey, what are you doing? You want to go walk outside? No, don't go in the kitchen. Just, you want to just hang out here with me? And, you know, like that kind of face.
Right.
And I'm thinking, what did you freaking do? And I go up into the kitchen, and now she is just sort of limping behind me low to the ground. Like, really knows that she's in trouble. And I get to the table, and there is lettuce all over the floor, because she won't eat lettuce, because that's vegetables. But dog eats veggies, right? She didn't like that. So she spit all those out. She's eaten all the bacon. She's left part of the turkey part there, because it had lettuce on it, and I guess she didn't know there was more meat under there. But she got up and ate the whole freaking thing. Oh, and then licked out a whole bowl of salsa Kim had put out.
Oh, my gosh.
And I looked at her, and I go, Rainer! And she looks at me and just goes, this is hard to explain, and maybe you can sort of see on the video, but she just curls up, falls on the thing, and puts her feet up like this.
Rub my belly?
Like, go ahead and kill me now, sort of look like. I know I've done a terrible thing. Anyway, you that kind of blew. That was an amazing thing, and I didn't get to eat it, and my freaking dog ate it.
You know, dogs get so... At what point the dog realized that it made a horrible mistake? Was it the lettuce?
It was probably the lettuce. Yeah,
right.
Probably. I mean, I don't know when the guilt set in. It was probably, probably the lettuce, if I had to guess.
Did you shame dog it? Did no. You, come on. Is that still a thing? Do we do shame dogs?
Can you shame dog? Animals? I don't know. Is that a thing you can do?
Yeah. You shame your animals. You put a little sign on them, and you. That was, you know, was it 2014? We did a lot of that.
What do you? Shaming? What's a good way to pet shame? I don't know
you put a sign on your dog's neck, and it says something like, "I ate all the salsa, and I'll be pooping that later." And you know, the dog looks there and sits there and looks sad. Pet shame.
Oh, I haven't. Yeah, I have. Oh, right, because they put a little sign. Now I remember. This was a meme for a while. People were all into it on the internet. You know, the internet, the place for memes.
That thing.
Yeah, you've been.
I like to do baby shaming.
Yeah. Oh, do you? But, Tell me about that. Yeah. What's a baby shame? What do you do there?
Oh, yeah. Any time you have a baby, it's going to poop his pants, and that's going to be a shame because I ain't changing it.
All right. Well, if it's your own kid, though, you'll get in there and get all those.
I'm a terrible father.
Wait, when your boys were little, who was wiping the chode? Who was doing that?
Honey!
I did my fair share of that. So Kim and I had this deal. When they were little, she would primarily take care of the poop disasters,
right?
And I would primarily take care of the vomit disasters.
Yeah, that was my role pretty much. I would do the vomit, and they would do the poop because the vomit only comes occasionally.
Oh, it's very rare. But when it did, Kim just couldn't deal. She would have to get out of the room. She'd have to go somewhere else. She would lose it if she was around that too long. She can't even watch a dog bar for that feeling like she's going to lose everything she ate for the last 24 hours. So I had to do that.
Stop watching it.
So Carter, you know, Nick or Carter or Taylor would come to the door and go, Daddy, I think I ate too much cherry pie. And just fork it everywhere. I'm like, Kim, just don't move. Just keep your eyes shut.
Are you sure you weren't watching Stand By Me?
I'm pretty sure
that's what happened.
It was basically like the end of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark when he said, don't open your eyes, Marion. Don't look at it. Don't look at it. It was like that. I was yelling at her, telling her not to look, and I would go and take care of it, get everything all cleaned up, get the kids back to bed, and I became a pro at it. I could totally deal. Like, you could put me in old folks' home where old people are yakking all the time, and I'd probably be all right. I'd probably be okay. I'd probably make it through.
That is disgusting. I'm so glad we decided to talk about puking and pooping.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not TMS if we don't have at least a little of that.
That's right.
Shadow Tactics is a recommendation I'd like to make for people at home. There's this new game on Steam. I played it a bunch on the Twitch channel last night, twitch.tv/frogpants. which is where you, live people are watching us right now. Anyway, it's called Shadow Tactics, Way of the Shogun or something. I forget the last part of the colon part of the name.
What's after the colon?
Do you remember the? Do you remember Commandos?
Absolutely. Yes.
Top-down World War II tactical stealth thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Imagine that, but set in like feudal Japan, where you're like, you have a team of, sometimes it's a ninja guy and he can do certain things and not other things. And then you got a big fat samurai guy who's got all kinds of abilities of his own, and a girl who can set traps and do like stuff like that, and an old man who can snipe. And basically that's your game, and it's super rad, and I want to play it all the time, and it's all I think about now, and it's great. So Shadow Tactics on Steam, it's available now.
I saw you playing this last night, and so I downloaded the demo because
There's a demo. How often do you see that anymore?
Demos? That's what I was thinking too. I was pretty excited. Mm-hmm. And so I played the demo's worth, and I didn't get very far, of course, but I kept having trouble figuring out where to click to tell my ninja guy to go next.
Yeah, and it's tricky. It's kind of like a puzzle game in a weird way. It's like, where's all the stuff I got to hook onto? What rooms can I hide in? What timing do I have so this guy who can see me can't see me? Mm-hmm. What ability should I use in this case? Because if I kill that guy and someone finds his body, security goes up and everyone goes nuts. Like, it's that kind of game. It's real time, so it's not like some turn-based thing. It's just awesome. So in celebration of what used to be the Final Score, one of our venerable old podcasts that you and I used to do together with Nicole Spag, who will be on later today, by the way.
Do you have one of these?
Oh, yeah. Look at that. I do, somewhere over there.
Little flag.
Final Score flask. Yeah, Joe
Buck.
Joe, I forgot your last name.
When he's not doing football games, he's making
I have too many names to remember. Joe made those.
Yeah.
That's who those are from.
Flasky Pants.
Joe Flasky Pants. You nailed it. That's exactly it. If Brian Nibbett were here, well, I'm sure that he would say, hold on. If Brian Nibbett were here, I'm sure he would say,
beep.
Okay. Hey, let's play a game. We're going to stump Daryl. It's still happening. I'm clearing the lines, and you, dear listener, can be the winner. 801-895-4724 is the number to call. The only rules are you can't have won in the last month or tried in the last 2 weeks. So if you are neither of those two categories, you can compete in today's Stump Daryl question, which is going to be pretty fun, if I do say so myself. Oh, I got to decide what I'm giving them. I'm giving them a copy of Popeye the movie. We'll talk about it in a second.
Popeye the movie?
Hi, who's this? Hello? Hello? I believe they hung up. Nope, are you there? Hello? Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Are you there? He's not answering, so we're going to try this call. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Brandon, Max in chat room in Georgia.
Oh, hey, man. What's going on in Georgia? You're sort of near Brian Dunaway, I guess-ish. You're in the South.
Yeah, we're in the same neck of the woods there.
Yeah, same swath of Dixieland, I suppose. Probably better weather than we're having. It's freezing. It's like 5 degrees here, and it's snowing, and that sucks. But I'm sure it's
It was 40 here yesterday and raining, and we considered that cold enough to make a pot of stew. So
does that shut down like highways and stuff when that happens?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's good to know. Well, it's good to have you, man.
It'll be like the 70s for Christmas. So.
Well, congratulations on being lucky. Oh, really? You get 70s at Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know what that's like. I don't even know what that is. Sounds like a foreign land or something. We're going to bring Daryl in, and we're going to let you participate in today's thing. You might get lucky. I might get lucky and actually add Daryl to this call. Hold on a second.
While you're doing that, I want to sweeten the pot.
Oh, you're going to give us something. What else?
Yeah, I heard a couple people complain about the Popeye. So I'm like, I'm including my copy of The Rock that I used to watch recently on FilmSack.
Sweet.
I'm going to autograph that, and also going to throw in this sweet ELR sticker.
Okay. I'm going to sweeten the pot even further. I'm going to do a custom sketch on TMS cardstock that was branded TMS cardstock, and on that, I'm going to do a custom sketch that I've never done anywhere else. It will be pencil and real and yours. There, take that. Who cares?
Awesome.
Who cares what Brian had? Okay, now Brian's going to add something. No, that's it. That's all you're getting is those things.
I'm going to press for now.
Yeah, that'll work. I'll give you some stuff, some stickers, and some other things. Daryl, did you want to throw anything in the pile?
yeah, he's going to lose anyway, so it doesn't matter.
All right, good point. Wow. Wow, that is, look at the faith. Look at the faith that Daryl's throwing your way. That's fantastic. All right, well, let's get to it. We got a little theme for it. Here you go. All right, it is Stump Daryl time. We take Daryl Skills out of the shed he lives in, and we say, hey, here's a question, and he answers it. And we're going to do that for us today. I better write down what all the stuff we're giving you. Popeye, or I'm going to forget. Popeye, The Rock, Sketch, stickers, and more.
Wouldn't The Rock be great as Popeye?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, you The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Absolutely. He wouldn't have to do anything with his forearms to make him look bigger. They just have to CGI down his biceps. Make him into little skinny sticks or whatever. All right, so let's get to it. This is the rules. Brian usually explains them, but I'll do it. We're going to ask a question, and Daryl's going to try to answer it. It's a numerical question. He will probably get it wrong. He may get lucky and nail it. I don't know. But one way or the other, if he gets it right, you auto win. So that's the rule. If he gets it wrong, then you get to tell us if it's higher or lower than the number he said. Today's topic/thing is, what is this? Final Fantasy VI, I guess, is the topic. All right? So Final Fantasy VI. The only other hint I would say is it was released in the U.S. as Final Fantasy III, but it was technically VI when it was released in Japan. All right. Are you familiar with that game? I guess I should ask.
Maybe. Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah,
I'm a little bit.
Oh.
Final Fantasy games are always confusing.
Yeah, they are, right? There's never really been a final one anyway. There's a new one out now. It's got a car and a bunch of dudes in it. It's really weird. Anyway, let's get to it. Here it is. Kefka is the final boss of Final Fantasy VI, Daryl. The game was released in the U.S. as Final Fantasy III. How many hit points does Kefka have when you face him for the final time? So it's not even the first time that you will face this Kefka person for the final time. And I will give you a hint. It is less than 200,000 hit points. So that's your range. Okay, somewhere in there. What do you think it is? Have you ever played a Final Fantasy game?
Never.
Mind blown. Can't believe it. Shocked. Doesn't seem like your kind of thing for some reason. I don't know why. Brian Dunaway, you played a bunch of Final Fantasy, yeah? No?
I played that crap.
Back in the day.
I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it.
Do you like the old school stuff or you like the more modern?
Definitely the old school stuff. I'm an old school gamer.
Yeah.
The newer stuff is a little bit, I don't know, too polished.
I think you should do a regular couple days a week stream where you get on Twitch and you play retro arcade and NES games and things like that. That's what you should do.
I think I should totally do that. Yeah. Let's do that right now.
All right. I will subscribe to that channel and I will watch you do it.
You got it.
All right, Daryl. So what do you think? Give me some numbers, buddy.
Okay. Let's see. I don't know if I should put 47 in here. Maybe I'll stop doing that. That's kind of dumb.
Well, I mean, you know, if you do it 50 times in a row, it starts to become a little predictable, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My only help in this is that under 200,000.
Yeah, that's the only hint you're going to get, too.
Let's see. I'm going to say it's amazingly low. And I'm going to say
amazingly.
I don't think
low.
It's...
I'm shocked how low this is. It's amazing.
I'm going to not say 47,000. I'm going to say 74,000.
74,000 hit points for the final boss, Kefka. Hey, Scott, is that right? No, Scott, that's not right. It turns out he's not right, but is it higher or lower, dear Liz? I forgot your name. What was your name?
It's Brandon.
Brandon, I got to write your name down. Brandon. Okay, Brandon, do you think that's a higher or lower number than Daryl's 74,000?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm just going to have to flip a coin on it and say lower.
Lower than 74,000.
Nice.
All right, well, let's find out if that is correct. Is it? Aw.
Congratulations.
It absolutely is.
You're a winner.
You're the big winner. The answer is 62,000. He has 63. You were pretty close, Daryl. Pretty close.
Wow. Yeah.
Within 12,000. He has 60,000 health during the final battle with him. He is considered by many to be one of the greatest villains in video game history. I've never played 3/6, so I don't know. I can't speak to whether I think he is.
I've never made it to the final boss.
Oh, in most games though, right? You have a history of this where you'll play a ton early.
I have short attention span. Gaming is what I have.
Yeah, that's why I think retro arcade streams with Brian would be amazing, because those are all about quick, bam, get in, get out. Yeah, I think that would be awesome.
Longer than an hour and
an hour and Brandon, you are the big winner today. You win the Popeye copy of the movie, the Rock movie, the sketch and the stickers and the more. All that stuff is yours. It'll be sent to you from two locations even, which is crazy. We never do this. All I need from you is your address. So here's what you need to do. Email me at scott@frogpants.com. That's scott@frogpants.com. I'll get your address and off we go. Well done, sir.
Great. Thanks, Dad.
Have a great Christmas down there, dude.
You too. Thank you.
Watch out for Ernest.
Yeah, watch out.
He's going to try to save Christmas.
Or ruin it. He might ruin it. Him and his warehouse buddies might ruin Christmas.
They'll nod up on you.
That's true. See, he sounds like him. That's so weird to me. Anyway, hey.
That's great.
Daryl, what do you want the most for Christmas? Do you have a thing that you're just like, oh, I sure hope I get this? It's been on my list forever.
Oh, no, no.
Nothing?
Not really.
Really? Like,
Since going through these changes that happened, I got everything already.
Yeah, you don't need anything, right? I feel this way. Like, I bought a Fitbit because I'm trying to do some stuff with the fitness business, and I like this a lot, by the way.
Fitness business?
Really like it, actually. But it, you know, I don't need anything else. What else do I need? I don't need nothing. And I told Kim, don't get me anything, please. And tell the kids
don't
I don't need anything.
Be that jerk. You're not that jerk, are you?
I don't want anything. I'm good.
Don't give me anything. Shut up. That's the most difficult. Okay, look.
Save money. Save your money.
You're gonna No. That's so stupid.
All right, explain. Why do you not like it? That seems like a good way to save money.
All right, look. Okay, as a gift giver, it is already difficult to pick things for people. And when someone comes, don't give me anything, that's crap. Because that's a brave thing to say 2 weeks before Christmas. But on Christmas morning, when everybody's opening their presents and you're sitting there with your thumb up your, you know, just up your butt, and you don't have a gift, you make everybody uncomfortable. Everybody is super uncomfortable because of your jerkiness.
Because I'm sitting there not getting one. Is that what you're saying?
We're getting a Fitbit or getting something else?
No. Let's say I'm just sitting there and I get nothing because I requested nothing.
Right.
That makes me, I make everyone uncomfortable because I'm not
getting
anything.
You're making everyone uncomfortable, and you don't really think about this, but I'm telling you, when you're sitting there on Christmas morning and everybody else is opening stuff and you ain't opening squat, you start backpedaling. You're like, wait a minute. I thought y'all were at least going to get me a little $5 candy bar or something. Something. I need something to open. I feel unusual.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I totally get it. But what I usually try to do is I run around with a camera and I'm filming stuff and talking and laughing. And, oh, Nick, what do you think of your skateboard and whatever? And I don't, and all the attention's off me. That's how I try to do it. So I'm not going to sit in a lazy boy and go, well, I guess that's all of them. Is that it? Is that all we got here? Any other gifts? Did everyone check under the tree? Like, I'm not going to do that.
Well, that's somebody got me something, right? I mean, it's in your house and.
I'm not going to look. I know my wife and I know that she's going to do something anyway. So now I get to play the victim a little bit. She'll bring it and go, here you go. And I go, oh, honey, I told you not to. Well, I just had to burm. We'll just have that whole conversation.
We have to have that conversation every Christmas morning. Just say I want some. This is what I do. I have an Amazon wish list. I put things on there from $5 to $20. I try not to put anything much more than that.
Yeah.
Ask people to go to my Amazon wish list, grab something off there.
Yeah.
Make it easy.
You know, if I was a millionaire or a pretend one, like, well, anyway. But if I was a millionaire and I had all that kind of money,
like Monopoly,
I would send all my friends a car or something. That's what I'd do. I'd go crazy with gifts. I'd go nuts. It'd be like, hey, Daryl, check your porch. There's a freaking, I don't know, the washer dryer combo waiting for you there or something, right? I'd buy you like a, here's what I'd do. I'd buy you a warehouse somewhere, an empty, abandoned where, not abandoned, but empty warehouse in in South Carolina, and I would fill it with arcade machines. That all worked, and you just walk in there, and it would just say Brian's Arcade or something.
Oh wow! And then I could move one of them, and there'd be like scratches on the floor, and I could go into Tron World.
Yes. Oh my lord! See, these are the things I would do. I would try to figure out where all my friends would really get a kick. And then who cares if you're a millionaire? Who cares? It's just
money.
Yeah,
washer and dryer. That really gives me a kick.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
not feel any of my wants.
I couldn't think of. Oh, I know what I'd get you. I'd auction. I'd go to one of those auctions and buy a giant piece of Star Trek memorabilia. Like, here's the console from the bridge from TNG, where Worf used to stand and argue with the captain all the time. Here you go, Daryl Burnt. And you'd have to find somewhere to put it, I guess. But
I'd buy you William Shatner. Try to find some place to put that.
Oh yeah, put Shatner somewhere. Where would you keep your Shatner? What are the rules into maintaining and keeping a Shatner in the house?
It'd be tough, man.
I don't know.
You have to compliment it 3 times a day on TJ Hooker. you have to.
Now, does he use a captain's box, or do you like let him go to the toilet?
Wait a minute. There's a captain's box. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Was that ever a thing? Someone pooped in a box.
Take a big old Captain's Duke in the captain box.
Spock, yeah. I'll be in the closet with the captain's box. do not come in there. all right. Well, Daryl, this has been enlightening. And I hope what you get for Christmas is a good Star Trek series next year when it airs. That's what I hope you get.
Oh, that would be, yes, that would be great.
That would be all right. It's Daryl Skeels, everybody. He's the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now he'll play a game with us called something. What do you got there?
Well, I'm going to read a part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. Mm-hmm. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
Blank surgery. I have no idea.
All right. Let's see. Blank surgery, Brian. Blank surgery. I'm going to say... I'm going to say, because I know there's enough weird boys on the internet, I'm going to say it's breast surgery or something like that. Like somebody wants to see someone get an implant because, boobs, right?
Right, right.
So I'm going to say that. What do you think it is?
Goat surgery.
All right. We may have found today's title of the show, Goat Surgery. I like that a lot. What was that sound? Is that the sound of a goat having surgery?
It's pretty bad. Man, was it? How they scream? Isn't that the goat thing? I don't want to scream.
Yeah,
I don't
they scream only, but not when they. Yeah. I think when they get surgery, though, they would put them out, right?
Right.
Well, let's see if there's such a thing as goat surgery on YouTube.
I think they scream like people, don't they?
Yeah, and if you're giving your goat surgery, you got too much money. Buy me arcade.
Oh my gosh, there's actual goat surgery on YouTube. Like pages of it.
There's like pages of goat surgery. It's not like a passing fad. It's well ensconced in the
And a lot of it's from KiboVet.com, and they posted on YouTube goat cesarean section. C-section. Amazing veterinary surgery of removing large plastic bag from goat stomach. castration in male goat performed by veterinarian in Portuguese. Nope. Hole surgery of goat. It's just a goat with a hole. and then some guy who had surgery.
25's got me in there.
There's also someone who got surgery to get horns put on his head that are like goat horns.
What?
Yeah. That's the thing.
Is that Harry Potter?
It's probably fake.
Daniel Radcliffe?
It's probably fake. All right.
I heard about that.
So, Daryl, is it real then? Someone got real horns?
I think it is, yeah. I don't think they're big. They're just like little nubs.
Well, this isn't the same as that pagan guy. We had that pagan guy story where the guy got the right to wear horns in his DMV photo, but that's different.
Oh, no, it wasn't that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the ones you're thinking of are like little bumps, right? Little, like Hellboy ones, like little nubs. Put in his head.
Yeah.
But this guy's got like full-on goat horns, like pointy goat horns. Anyway, doesn't matter. Wow. So who was either of us right? Was it goat surgery? Or was it boob?
You know, believe goat surgery or not. Was
it goat?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
No. The number two answer is brain surgery. The number one answer is plastic surgery.
Oh. Well, there's probably a lot of that on there. Yeah, plastic surgery. Ooh, there's a lot of plastic surgery.
Goats.
Plastic surgery goes wrong is what I see. Hold on, plastic surgery. Same deal, though. The very first one that comes up is breast augmentation because boys like boobies.
Boys like the boobies.
We like boobies. Daryl is the Trek nerd. I already said that. Daryl, have a great Christmas, dude.
Oh, you too, guys. And both of you.
Yes, and hope you get something rad and also give things that are cool and then also come back Monday because we're doing a show Monday. Bye. All right.
He's enjoy out. Your holidays,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Monday. See you later. Kiss my butt. All right, here's this. All right, it's the news. I really got to tweak that one. What it's was too that? Much. It's too much. It's a fart. It's the news brought to you by Santa, who wants to remind everyone that there is still time to get on the nice list. Click through the Amazon banner on Coverville.com, donate to Coverville or FilmSack, or support TMS on Patreon, and Santa will know how nice you really are. Merry Christmas and happy winter solstice to the entire Frog Pants family, sent by an anonymous person. Or is it really Santa Claus?
Hey, ho, 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 piss Santa.
I don't know why I'm making that sound. All right.
I'm getting closer to the microphone than you.
That's right. You're right up on that thing. Plus, your video is awesome. You should never change this. This is the greatest
thing. Right. The camera's a little bit close.
I like it.
You're peering into my soul.
I'm going to move it. Now they get a full shot. What do you guys think of that? That's pretty good.
Can you?
Wife thought husband was having an affair because he had a shave and a haircut.
Where'd he have this shave and a haircut?
Well, that's the question. That's the million-dollar question. Fatima Fardros. Fardos. Fardoros.
Fardo?
How would you say that?
Fardo?
Was that a silent thing at the end there?
I would say so. Wouldn't you?
Fardous. Fardos. Farduos.
Fardos. This fall. Fardos.
She repeatedly contacted her partner, Mirza Rosna, with vitriolic phone calls while he was at work. When the carpet fitter returned to their home, why does it matter if he's a carpet fitter?
Because that's his profession.
Yeah, but what does it matter? Does it matter? It shouldn't matter. Right?
It shouldn't, but it makes me laugh because, carpet cheating.
Yeah, nice. I see where you're going with
carpet.
This.
Yeah, there's something there, but he's a carpet fitter. So
something matches the drapes. I got it.
Right. Yeah.
When carpet fitter returned home, he discovered Fardios had smashed up the television and a mirror before she lunged at him. Yeah, with a kitchen knife during an argument. Prosecutor Nick Addleton told the Bradford County Court or Crown Court, West Yorkshire. Oh, this is in the UK.
No, that explains everything.
It sounds like it should be in Florida, but nope, it's not. The victim was able to move to avoid being stabbed in the chest, but the knife dug deep into his upper arm, hitting a bone and causing the handle to break.
Ugh. Oh, I like this. Is some descriptive writing. I'm enjoying. It's like
we get a lot of these on here.
Yeah,
it's weird how sometimes journalism is about describing disgusting things. You know,
suck it, lady.
Yeah,
in my arm.
It says. It was revealed Fardos, who has no previous convictions, became convinced that Mr. Raza was seeing someone else after she discovered he had a haircut and a shave before the attack. She fled following the attack, or he did. His 29-year-old partner threatened to get another knife. Oh, you broke my knife, did you? I got another one.
I got a whole gift set worth. Come on.
During the trial following Fardos' denial of causing grievous bodily harm with intent, Mr. Raza claimed the wounding had been an accident. So now, who knows?
No.
My guess is you
swing a knife at somebody. That's no accident.
These sorts of stories, I always wonder how little of the story we're actually getting. Because it feels it's got to be more complicated. If I came home one day, shaved and had a haircut, my wife wouldn't suddenly lunge at me with a knife.
We'll see. Go get a shave and haircut.
There's more to it. Something else has happened. There's history. There's always freaking stuff, man. And these articles they always just tell you the face of it, and that's it.
And they're not saying if this lady is, got some kind of mental problems or something. Maybe she's just, paranoid.
Could be. Yeah, absolutely could be. And that's fine.
First of all, she smashed a TV. You ever watch Lifetime?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
You watch that all day, and you'll be brainwashed into believing your husband is indeed.
Oh yeah, everyone's cheating on everybody on there. That's true. Yeah. My wife, she has completely screwed up my Netflix queue. I've been talking about this on the show a little bit. But my Netflix queue was already kind of janky because of what we do with FilmSack. But now it's really messed up because she has watched, I don't know how many of these movies, probably.
Is it the Christmas specials? Yeah. Like the Hallmark?
Yep, all that crap. You know the crap I'm talking about.
I had like a glut of those things hit the hit the stream the other day.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're on Netflix, they're on Hulu, they're everywhere. And she watches them over and over, and all my queues look bad now. Or it just looks funky. It says, because you liked dipping your face in Christmas, you might also like, and then these other ones that are like Christmas jingle farts and happy merry lady man
five,
or whatever.
5 days of Christmas, 6 days of Christmas.
Yeah.
No original titles. Christmas Comes to Town.
There's a war on Netflix, not on Christmas. It's a war on Netflix. Anyway, so this thing happened, and I guess they're okay now. Hey, here's a good story for you. A savage elephant farts directly on friend's head.
Now, is he a savage elephant before the farting, or was he already savage?
That's a really good question. I wonder if you have a tendency towards savagery if you're an elephant, if you ever fart on anyone.
Right.
Well, apparently, actually, there's a reason behind this. Now, I'm going to try to show this to the chat room here. Let's see. I'm going to show this. There's a GIF, which can be seen here, of the act. However, this isn't going to do it any justice. We're going to have to play the actual video.
Here's, is there audio?
Yeah, there's please audio to this. So here you go, Brian. Oh, you're going to hear this too. Here we go. Okay.
The birds are a nice touch.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. All right, so he's like throwing his trunk around, being kind of a dick. And here comes his friend. All right, sitting on his face. Oh, wow. Oh, he shoved him down the hill. Okay, now he's pissed. Dumbo is pissed.
Oh, my. Was that it?
No, that wasn't the fart. Hold on. I think that was just one of their faces. Okay, now he's getting up on it. They're playing King of the Hill, basically, here. There's three elephants vying for position. The big one just now came back up. Okay, now he's aiming his arse on the other one. Here we go. Okay. Yep, he's totally doing it. Okay. Let it rip. Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
Those big old elephant buns just.
That is so gross.
Wait, the birds all shut up too. Did you hear that?
Yeah, they were like, oh, we're out. That's it. No more bird here. Apparently, this is a method, according to this article.
Is this something they do?
Yeah, they do this to mark their territory and to show dominance.
Was he supposed to poop on him and didn't have it in him, or was it? Is it really just the farting thing? Is that
what are you saying? Here he sits, all brokenhearted, had to poop but only farted.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. It freaked me out. But they were trying to show dominance. I don't know why they cared about that hill so much. It's just like a little I don't know. If you had to measure, it's maybe 3.5 feet above the ground or something. No big deal. It's just a hill of dirt. But that guy really wanted it. And he positioned himself. He got up, weaseled his way around, put his butt right on the head of the other elephant, and then let rip.
How would you not know that's coming?
And lifted a leg up. Lifted a leg and let it rip. I know. How would you know? How would you be the other elephant and not know what's going on?
What are you doing over there, Sally? Fred? What's your name?
Sally.
Get off
and
me.
Fred, the elephants. Oh, gosh. That's awesome. All right, here's more news. Sheep.
Disgusting.
You know sheep. You familiar with sheep? They're like goats, but they're not really goats, right?
Right. They do the sheep thing.
Yeah, and they're all hairy and whatever.
They're all hairy.
sheep now outnumber people 3-1 in Wales. There are more sheep. The sheep could rise up and destroy the humans in Wales. They outnumber them 3-1. This is according to latest figures released by farmers in the region. The number of sheep grazing in the sparsely populated Welsh mountains and valleys have risen to almost 2 million over the last 7 years. And the actual census figures show there are currently 9.81 million sheep and lambs in Wales. I guess the lambs are just the baby sheep. Is that the deal? Okay.
I'm thinking that this number is probably a lot higher because sheep are typically not really good at filling out censuses. So.
Oh, yeah. Sure. And they just ignore the call, like the phone call that comes in. They just ignore it.
Oh, yeah, right.
They don't like that. They put you on the block list or whatever. This compares to 3,026,000 people that live in Wales. So the sheep is pretty high. It has yet to reach its 1990s high, though, of around 12 million. There was a lot of sheep then.
Maximum sheep.
Yeah. Peak sheep is where we're at.
When peak sheep. Yeah.
Population dropped to a low around 8 million in 2008, but in 2009 it began to steadily increase 3.2% per year, year over year, and it continued to grow. John Richards, industry information executive for Haibu Sig Kamuru, which is Meat Promotion Wales, in whatever language that is. Is that Welsh? I don't know. Said the increase was an indication of confidence in the future of the industry of sheep. Sheep
what?
Industry.
Yeah. So you're telling me sheep said, hey, you know what's great? We need more of us because we have products that we like to sell.
Yeah.
Like our flesh and hair.
You know, our bodies, our entire beings.
Bodies.
We like to be shaved naked, destroyed, and eaten. So...
Here's, so you guys get to getting busy.
Yeah, there's more of us now.
Get off me. What are you trying to do? Fart on my head? Stop it.
Shave me, eat me. All right. Shave me, eat me. finally, Richard Marks. Remember Richard Marks?
Oh, yeah. How could you forget him?
Hold on to the night. What else did he sing?
Hold on to the nights.
Was that all it was?
These did some more stuff, but that's the one I remember. This is where Ibbot really shines.
Yeah, he would have known. He would have belted out all those songs. I don't know any of them.
Right.
But anyway, Hold On to the Night singer did the right thing. He stopped a crazed airline passenger who suddenly started attacking people on his flight. 80s heartthrob Richard Marks, who is now 53, may be known for singing love songs, but he fearlessly jumped to subdue, an apparently crazed passenger aboard a flight from Hanoi, Vietnam to Seoul, South Korea earlier today. He was traveling with his wife, Daisy Fuentes. Do you remember her?
What? I did not know that.
Yeah. I used to have a thing for Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, I used to have a big thing for Daisy. I still do.
Wasn't she? She was a volleyball deal, right?
Yeah. Well, right. And then she did the MTV VJing for a little while. And then she did the America's Funniest Home Videos. Didn't she do that for a while after Sackett?
Yeah,
left or
I think something like that. Or she was on some sort of, something like that. But now you know what she does? You know what she does now? She holds she brushes to the night. That's what she does.
She brushes Richard Marks' hair now. She does.
Hey, it's all short, it says in this photo.
Oh.
Yeah, he doesn't have the big mullet thing anymore.
Huh.
Anyway, they were driving. She documented a lot of it on her Instagram. The guy sitting next to the row from them, this according to them is a quote, got crazy and started attacking the flight attendants and passengers.
I sent a kosher meal.
It says the MTV VJ turned fashion mogul, age 50, wrote, when he started pushing the female staff and pulling on their hair, Richard Marks, or as she put it, because it's a Twitter account in here, Richard Marks was first to help subdue him.
And so he can't get the Richard Marks either, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to start calling you the Brian Dunaway because that's your Twitter handle. The Brian Dunaway subdued the passenger.
That's what you got to do.
Well,
would you be able to do this,
yes,
Scott,
yes.
If you were on a plane?
Oh, yes. This is when I kick in. This is when I'm most useful to humanity. When things go raw and get out of control and chaos ensues, something clicks in me. And I'm not one of those that just stands back and hopes it goes away or hopes someone else steps up. I can't freaking do it. So what happens instead is I go into full emergency mode and I put on leader hat, step up on a soapbox and tell everybody what to do. It may not even be a good thing, but it's what happens. So when we had this, I think I've talked about it on the show, but I had a kid who had a seizure in the middle of my house and it was a really bad one. Grand mal, full blown, horrible seizure. Didn't know he had a tendency toward him. His parents had never told us about it. And he was playing Mario Kart on the GameCube and just tipped over and went into the worst epileptic fit you've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
So everybody else kind of scooched back and just stared like deer in the headlight, didn't know what to do. And I really didn't know what to do either, but I went, all right, you call 911. You get me a couple of pillows over there. You grab me somebody's wallet. I need to get his mouth open and try to keep him from biting his tongue. You come here and help me hold him down. You, bleep, bleep. I just went into full like,
You grab his legs. I'm going to fart on his head.
I'm going to fart on his head and show dominance. Exactly. And so by the time we were done and we had paramedics there, they came and they're like, wow, you guys did good job. Thanks. And that's when I panic. That's when I go. Right. When it's over, I go, oh, my gosh, what did we just do? What did we just do? And then I fold up into a ball. But when it's on, dude, it is go time for me. Yeah. So I don't know what that is or what that means. But if somebody is freaking out on a plane next to me and attacking somebody, sure as shit, I am getting up and tackling that person down. I'm holding them down. And I don't care if anyone helps me or if I die in the process. It's in my blood to just do it and then pay for it later. Because I'll go, that guy could have killed me.
Right. Is that being a dad or is that just personality? Because I'm the same way.
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. I'll bet that kicks in more when you're a dad, probably.
Maybe so.
I mean, it's just a guess. I don't know. But I feel like I have Papa Bear tendencies I didn't used to have. Like I heard the other day this cool kid in the neighborhood. I may have talked about him before, too.
Big cool kid in the neighborhood. How do you know that?
Well, he's
come across that information.
Well, I think he's cool. He's super into Pokemon and he's really into video games and he's a major.
You don't know what cool is, do you?
He's a major nerd. And he gets picked on sometimes. And when I find out, I get so enraged. I want to go down to the school.
Right.
Scare the living crap out of the kid who's picking on him and probably get arrested because I shouldn't be down at the school doing anything. But I just get this, I get Papa Bear mode and I can't help it. It's weird.
Same way, man. Mm. I've newly driven down to the school many times.
Yeah. And what do you get? You know, I mean, it's just in you. If it's in you, it's in you. If it's not, it's not. For whatever reason, it's in me. And it may get me in trouble one day. Like, I may actually misuse this instinct.
Is it going to misuse my powers? You think it's going to get worse as you get older?
Maybe.
Right now, you're kind of rational, but when you get to be like 80, will they put up with that crap?
Well, that's
got this. Come back there.
Hey, come here, you little bastard.
Oh, my teeth.
And the worry is, you know, will you have the presence of mind to know the difference between somebody who's a threat and somebody who's just trying to put their hair up or something? Like,
I'm interested in seeing the dementia-styled Scott Johnson of the future who's going to be trying to save everybody in the nursing home.
You don't want it. It's going to be bad. Nobody wants it. All right. Let's quick break, sponsor break, and we'll be right back. All right. Hey, I've been talking to you guys a couple days now in a row about skills, SKILLS. You know you got some skills. This entire episode brought to you by them. They let you play mobile games you love and win real cash prizes. So I want you to go check it out. Every skills game is free to play. What's really cool is that you also have the option of competing for real cash prizes. That's right. You can win money playing games on your phone, Android and iOS. In fact, you can win up to $100 in a single tournament with entry fees as low as a penny. Skills offers a variety of games for iOS and Android devices, including puzzlers, bubble popping, bowling, pool, solitaire, trivia, and more. In addition to tournaments, you can also compete with other players head-to-head. Skills matches you against players with similar skill levels, so the competition is always fun and always fair. Compete whenever you want and win cash prizes for playing the games you already love. Visit skills.com/frogpants, that's skills with a Z, to learn more and download your favorite free games. Try it for free, and when you make your first deposit, Skills will double it. And when you enter the promo code frogpants, you'll get an extra $10 in free bonus cash on top of that. That's skills.com/frogpants. We thank them for sponsoring the show. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about stuff with who? Oh, I know. Nicole Spag. She's going to be on. We're going to talk about recommendals. That's exciting, right?
It's the final score.
Yeah. Final score reunion show, everybody. Come on back for that. That's happening right after the break with the song. And then also after that, we, of course, have Tom's Tech Time. Now, Brian did not give me any text or paperwork regarding the music I'm playing today. So I think I'm just sort of winging it because I don't know what else to do. The song outro today, the final song, is definitely Christmassy. This one, I don't know what this is. And it's totally fine. He's busy. He's at the hospital. He's got stuff to do. So I'm not going to, this isn't me throwing shade at Brian for not giving me info. I just really wish I knew more about this band. But there's this band here called Gum, G-U-M, all caps. They've got a song here called Gemini. They're an independent band. I don't know enough about them, or I'd tell you more about where they could be found, where their concerts are going to be and all that. But instead, I'll just play the song. So here's Gemini. We'll be back in a sec. Stay tuned.
Easy bites with new crust flavors.
No smoking in the skull cave.
The Morning Stream. Because knowing is half the battle.
We're back, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that break. I have no idea what to say about that song, except that it was a song, and it existed, and it was great.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, independent music, whatever. Got a quick note to make about one Brian Ibbett, who's at the doctor's office now, and took a photo of him reading in one of those magazines that they have there for you to read while you wait. Let me tell you, the last thing I want to ever have in my hands, ever, always, and never, is a magazine in a waiting room.
And yes.
Do you know why, Brian?
Could it be because of the people before you who touched and scratched and sneezed and...
You could not be more correct. It is freaking disgusting what people... They come in there because they're sick. They come in there because they got some kind of boil on their anus or whatever. And they're going to have all kinds of stuff, and you don't want that, and it's going to transfer around on that magazine, I'm telling you right now.
You know, and they're holding that Kleenex balled up in that one hand, and they're holding that... Like up against the magazine, and
yeah, it's foul.
You know, it's a good time.
It's bad. It's bad. All right, Nicole is showing offline, but that doesn't mean anything.
But that doesn't mean she's offline, does it?
No. Well, it might. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? Hey, everybody, let's use this chance to save the show, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Skype.
This is very exciting.
Have you told her that we'll be using Slack, or are you going to?
No, I bring her in Skype.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I was trying to do a group team thing with Slack, and it was like, nope.
You have to pay.
I had to pay.
They make you pay for that biznatch, which sucks. Nicole Spagnolo, what's going on with you?
Sorry, Skype. I have it set for Skype to just start when my computer starts.
Oh, well, that's okay. A lot of us do it, probably.
But apparently... It's not doing that anymore.
Oh, well, Skype is a piece of garbage and works like crap most of the time. Hey, I don't know if you knew this, but Brian Dunaway is my co-host today.
And Nicole, surprise.
He almost got sick. She almost threw up.
I'm back.
That was the funniest thing you could have ever said. Coughing to death.
I didn't see that. Brian, hi, I miss you.
Oh, I miss you too, Nicole.
You know,
isn't this fun?
Yes.
It's like a final score. We should be talking about games instead of movies.
I'm trying to find the theme song, and I can't freaking find it because I was going to play a little bit of it.
We talked about a game at the top of the show. What was it?
I don't know.
Shadow Tactics.
Oh, it's a Jewish
Steam game.
He said Jewish or something. I don't know why I thought
Jewish.
That. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can find this real fast. Final score, MP3. Okay. Because this, I should have had this ready. I mean, come on. We got to celebrate ourselves.
How long has it been? I still see the people tweeting at Final Score on Twitter and being like, we miss you.
It has been a long time. Okay, I'm going to play just... listen to this. Stay a while. This is from 2012. This is the final score for Friday, May 4th, 2012, episode 85. Yeah. Oh, listen to that. All right, maybe one day.
Hey, Scott, what have you been playing this week?
Not nearly enough, it turns out. All right, well, Nicole, it's good to have you here. It's recommendals time, and we do this every week without Brian here. And I didn't educate Dunaway early on what to do, so he probably doesn't have a recommendation, but that's fine.
I'll recommend something.
Yeah, you'll recommend something. It's fine. We'll come up with something. But today's theme was Russell Crowe, was it not?
Yes, Russell Crowe.
Is it cheating if the thing I watched was streaming but suddenly got pulled right before this show?
There wasn't much.
Yeah.
There wasn't much.
Because I watched it and then it got pulled, so I kind of got screwed. Although it may be on HBO and I didn't check there. But anyway, we'll get to that all in a second. But yeah, we like to do a little theme. And today's theme is Russell Crowe movies. I'm going to play you guys a clip. You tell me if this sounds familiar or at all interesting and see if you can guess where it's from. Here it is.
Most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family, never forgetting where we came from. Thank you, Sean. See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one or two things. Either you're somebody, or you're nobody. I'll be right back.
All right, that's the beginning of a really impressive scene in that movie.
But that is a lot of not Russell Crowe.
There's no Russell Crowe in the clip. But that might give you a hint, because that was his co-star in the film, Denzel Washington. Any guesses, anyone?
I did not know, but I'm looking at the chat room, and Sidon says American Gangster.
This is correct. Great movie. 2007 American Gangster, directed by Ridley Scott. Stars Denzel Washington, Russell Crowe, Chiwetel Patel Ejiofor. He's in it. I like that guy a lot. It also has Josh Brolin. It has, who else? Somebody else I really like. Oh, Idris Elba's in it. Has kind of a sad ending to that dude's life.
He's going
to
be Roland in the Dark Tower movies.
Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? That's all I care about right now. My phone's wallpaper is a picture of him holding a gun. That's how excited I am for that. I can't wait. And Matthew McConaughey, the man in black. Oh my gosh. Losing my mind over here. I can't freaking wait. Anyway, it's a good movie, and I don't know if it's streaming anywhere now, because it was and now it's not. So I'm a little bit bummed about that. But
I always tweet and put on Facebook all of our recommendals. I always, if I can't find it streaming, I always just put the rental link on Amazon.
Well, that's a good idea. Let's see. Right here it says, oh, it is now on HBO Now, or Go, or HBO in general.
It's now on HBO.
Yeah. So I guess that technically counts. That's a streaming service that you can subscribe to, and it is there. But it was previously on Netflix. Anyway, you can get that now or buy it just about anywhere. It's a fantastic movie, and you're dumb if you don't like it. All right. Let's move to Nicole's recommendation. Nicole, what do you got this week?
I was trying to find a clip. That's why I was late and not paying attention. So I had muted you on the stream, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to find a clip. Good clip.
It's all good.
All right, so here's my clip.
All right.
After rewatching it, I don't know if,
I'm not sure you're going to recommend it.
No, I still recommend it. I still like the movie.
Yeah.
But there are times where the shots are, it's kind of campy. It's kind of cheesy.
Okay.
But there you go.
All right.
It was, I'll give you the year to help you out. 95.
95. Good year for movies.
Friend here.
95.
It's a lot of Foley work. Yeah.
Here's the Eagle Butt Peacemaker. Solid ivory handle, Mexican emblem. Only 30 of these ever made.
Oh!
God!
Sorry, I know what it is.
New model. Army 44.
I'm just excited because I love this movie.
Then your Colt. Add the wooden handles removed and replace it with solid silver.
All right. Okay.
I know what it is. It's Quick and the Dead.
Yes, it is. It's Quick and the Dead. You can
watch
it streaming on Stars, and you can get a 7-day free trial from Amazon if you want to watch the Quick and the Dead.
Quick side note about that movie. So it's Leonardo DiCaprio. It's Gene Hackman. It's Russell Crowe before anyone knew who he was really.
Sharon Stone.
Yes, and it's got Lance Hendrickson in one of my favorite roles ever. He plays Ace. He's so great in that.
Is that the guy with the he's combing his mustache?
Yeah, and he's got cards everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's dressed all in black. Oh my gosh, I love that movie so much. Freaking love that movie. And I like it for its cheese. The over-the-topness makes it great.
Yeah.
Great recommendation. I can't believe I didn't think of that one.
This is the kind of movie that you're flipping through the channels. You know, it's probably like TNT or TBS, and you catch it midway, and then you just can't turn the channel because you just got to finish it.
It's really, really good. It's a great Western. It's a Sam Raimi film, which should tell you something. His movies.
Yes. Oh, look at that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he directed it, and it's definitely got kind of his flavor. I wouldn't call it like, you know, what's the Dead movies? Evil Dead movies. It's not like that.
Yeah.
But and it's not like the Spider-Man movies, but it's definitely kind of got his flavor, and it's great. Great movie. And Sharon Stone's great in it. Oh, it's
Brian,
great.
Have you seen this movie?
I've seen parts of it through flipping the TV. So I've seen the middle, and I think I've seen some of the end, but not much else.
You should watch the whole thing. It's actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, you really should watch it. It's fast, too.
I've already took advantage of the Starz free subscription thing, so I'll have to figure out another way.
Well, plus it's a bit like a kind of an arcade game style movie, in that it's very quick, it's very fast. It's not like you're sitting there for 3 hours. It's not like some giant long movie. It's a very fun sort of quick thing. What always struck me about that movie, Nicole, is it feels like the town, it makes the town seem like the only place in the universe.
Right. But you know what else it reminds me of?
Mm.
An Old West Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole premise of the movie.
I'm sold.
Gene Hackman is bringing all of these gunslingers together, and they're having like a tournament of gunslingers.
Yeah, it is Mortal Kombat. Every day at noon, another pair pairs up, and they have to fight to the death.
Right.
And oh my gosh, I'm just gonna watch it now. Now I just have to watch it.
And Russell Crowe is a preacher, but he used to be a gunslinger, and it's a good watch.
Yeah, lots of tropes, lots of stereotypes about Westerns, lots of fun stuff.
Have you guys film-sacked that?
No, but it is on the list of things we want. As soon as it becomes available on Netflix, we will absolutely sack that thing.
I honestly thought you were going to try to recommend 310 to Yuma.
Oh, I almost did. I
would
almost
totally
did.
Recommend that.
I have before, I think.
I think sometime.
Yeah.
It's not streaming.
I love that movie. Oh, my gosh, I love that movie. 310 to whatever. I have a thing for Westerns, everybody. Is this a shock? It shouldn't be if you listen to the show more than 5 minutes.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you should watch Adams Ruins Everything, the Western edition.
Adams Ruins Everything?
Adam Ruins Everything. It's a TV show on True TV.
Let's see.
And he ruins Westerns.
Oh. Oh, yeah, this guy. I've heard of this show.
Yeah.
Well, there are people that tell me that True TV is on a roll right now and I should be watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I heard it used to be Court TV, so they rebranded themselves. Kind of like ABC Family rebranded themselves Freeform.
Is that what they're called now, Freeform?
Yes.
That's stupid as hell.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That is so
I've
dumb.
I've seen that everywhere. They're really pushing a big marketing campaign on that, though. I've seen it in a lot of places.
Yeah, I don't like it. That's dumb.
I don't understand it, but I guess the shows they were showing,
yeah,
that's so family friendly in some cases.
Yeah, that's why I think they did it. They were like, hey, we want to get some boobies all up in this.
And, well, I don't know about that.
Well, maybe not. Hey, so Dunaway, we just would at least give you a chance here to recommend something you've seen recently. Have you seen anything cool recently?
Oh, does it have to be Russell Crowe?
No, it can be whatever you want.
I mentioned briefly yesterday on FilmSack, but I was sick this past week, and I like to watch me some Kevin Smith. Mm. And he has a new movie, fairly recent, called Yoga Hosers. And
oh, yeah.
It's got
Johnny
Depp's
daughter.
I thought
this was terrible. Isn't it terrible, though? It's supposed to be terrible.
It's terrible in a good way. I mean, I had a lot of fun. It reminds me of some of Kevin Smith's older work. And did you ever see Tusk? Which
no.
is really weird.
No, but I saw an interview with Kevin Smith and why he created it.
Mm.
And he kind of did it to say F you to the industry. Like he wanted to make the worst movie. And that's why
so bad.
That's why. Right. That's why he said he tried just to make a horrible movie that, you know, went against all Hollywood standards. And
it seems like Hollywood agrees that it's a pretty bad movie. So he did mission accomplished.
I think Justin Long's performance as the yoga master is pretty good. And I think that the weirdness weirdness that is Canadian Nazis, which I knew nothing about, but they explore it in depth in this movie. And some of the things he does kind of reminds me a little bit of Tusk, but toned down. Mm-hmm. And I think Johnny Depp's daughter and his daughter, I think they both did a fine job. And I thought it was fun. But once again, I was sick. It was
trapped in a bed.
Now it's covered up with the blankets, nice and warm, you know, has some soup and some Gatorade. And
Is it streaming on Amazon?
Yes, it's on Netflix. It's on Netflix right now, streaming,
And it's it's Johnny
Yoga
Depp's
daughter.
It's Johnny Depp who does a really interesting part.
Oh, he's in it too?
Yeah, he's in it. His daughter's in it. Kevin Smith's not in it, but I don't think. But his daughter is in it.
Yeah.
And it's got Justin Long and some other people you'd probably recognize from.
I want to say his daughter. I thought his daughter did something with like direction or something.
Oh, maybe she had some additional something going on.
Yeah, I can't remember. I just remember this was the movie that followed Star Wars at Comic-Con. Remember when they took everybody in the audience and gave them lightsabers and took them to that musical concert?
Oh, right.
Yoko Hosers was the follow-up.
Yeah. Yeah, and he had to sit up there on stage, and they all went out to the concert, and nobody came to his thing.
There was no one in Hall H.
That's a bummer, man.
I felt so bad.
Just Kevin Smith and a little pot, and that was it.
Like 10 people.
A little pot.
Well, he always has a little extra on him, doesn't he?
Right.
Well, all right. These are all fine recommendations, except maybe that Yoga Hosers one. We're going to...
You've never seen it.
I don't know. I should watch it first before I make any judgment. I thought Clerks 2 was terrible, and a lot of people disagree with me. So
I liked Clerks 2.
But I really liked Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. So there. I like that one. All right, let's get out of here. Before we do, though, Nicole Spag on Twitter, of course, she can.
You don't
want to
do next week's.
Oh yeah, we should do next week. Well, let's see. What should we do?
It's my turn.
Okay, you pick. That's right, because we're doing. Do we have to base it off of something that was in one of the ones this week? I think that's how we're doing it.
Since I picked Quick and the Dead, I think I might do Gene Hackman or Leonardo DiCaprio.
Ooh, I love Gene Hackman.
Let's do Gene Hackman.
Okay. All right, that's a awesome. That's a big awesome choice. I like that. Gene Hackman next week. We'll let Brian know offline. The other Brian, this Brian, you don't have to do anything. You can just take next Wednesday.
Off. I'm glad I know. I can't do anything with the information. But
you can play along at home.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Nicole Spag on Twitter. She'll post this stuff. So check that out. It's always good to see you. Have a great Christmas, by the way.
Oh, you too. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas and the Merry kids Christmas, and Nicole. The snow and all that stuff. And have a good one. And there's a leg behind you. Why is there a leg?
It's the leg lamp.
Oh, it's the leg lamp from The Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Oh, it's adorbs.
All right. Shoot your eye out.
Bye now. All right. Brian.
That was fun.
That was fun. We got another guy to call.
All right, let's call another guy.
His name is Tom Merritt. You might be familiar with his work.
I've heard of him.
He does some stuff and comes on the show and does those things.
He cuts cords and does all this.
Oh, he cuts all kind of cords. His cords are ever cutting.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man, the cord cutter himself, the one, the only, the Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom. How's it going?
Hello, Brian and Scott.
Hi. It's nice to see you, man. Look at your St. Louis, flying your St. Louis hat hard and wide or whatever.
As I always remind you, this is a St. Louis Browns hat, not a St. Louis Cardinals hat.
Oh, you do remind me of that. Wait, Browns? Mm-hmm. Who are the Browns?
They were an American League team until 1954 when they moved to Baltimore and became the Orioles.
Okay, but the Browns, nothing to do with the Cleveland Browns, right? No connection.
No, okay. Not a thing to do with that.
Not even the same sport.
In fact, the Cleveland Browns came later, so you could argue the Cleveland Browns stole their name from the St. Louis Browns.
All right, you could make that argument.
What is the history of Browns? Why did they choose a color instead of a mascot? What's up with that? Do you know?
Well, in the olden days, they were all just based on a color. Like, oh, that's the team that wears red. We'll call them the Reds. Oh, that's the team that has white socks. We'll call them the White Sox.
I didn't know that.
It took a while before people started to come up with more inventive names, like our little cubbies of a player, and that's how the Cubs got their name.
Oh, all right. So nobody ever said, our guys are all red. We're going to call them the Redskins. That never happened, right?
Yeah, and the Cardinals got their name because they wore Cardinal Red. There's dispute about this, but one story is they got it because the Reds in Cincinnati already existed. So they wanted, these are the Cardinal Red wearing baseball teams. Because nicknames were unofficial back then.
I was hoping you'd say they were big Vatican fans or something. They were way into the...
Well, that's the other story is that they were entirely made up of people who might become Pope one day.
Oh, potential popes.
Not anymore, though.
Oh,
although there may be some law in the books in Vatican City that would allow Matt Carpenter to become Pope. I have no idea.
It sounds a lot better than the St. Louis potential popes.
That was their original name. Yeah, it didn't catch on.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, it's always good to have you on, sir. It is Wednesday. That means Daily Tech News Show later today with me and you and a guest today, it turns out.
I'm excited. Erin Carson, formerly of Tech Republic, now at CNET, is going to be on. And she wrote a wonderful column about her grandfather, her 97-year-old grandfather, who sadly just recently passed away, and how he was on the forefront of technology use all the way to the end.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I need to read this, and I really like Erin. She's been on my Wednesday before.
Yeah, do read it before we do the show.
Yeah, I didn't even know about her move. I feel like I'm behind the eight ball on this. I'm going to go catch up on what Erin's been up to.
Yeah, I mean, Tech Republic and CNET are part of the same CBS Interactive family, so she just kind of, you know, jumped over. She's still in Louisville and all that.
Right, right. Probably even change offices. Probably just in the same place. Probably still working from home a lot.
She might have changed desks. That's about it.
Who knows? Well, she's great. I can't wait for that. What is hot on the minds of technologists everywhere today?
Well, you know, this isn't the hottest story, but since we had Nicole Spagnuolo on Cord Killers this week, and we both were like, huh, we never actually talked to each other. And I was like, but I feel like I talk to you, Nicole, because I hear you every day, every Wednesday before I go on. Yeah. And in line with the watching things on cord cutting services, there's been a leak for Dish's Sling TV, which accidentally posted details about a set-top box called Air TV Player.
Oh,
this is intriguing because it would be a set-top box like a Roku or a Fire TV, except it has a TV tuner built in. And then the interface integrates any over-the-air channels you get into the Sling TV service. Mm. So right next to your AMC, BBC News, etc., on Sling TV, you could see any over-the-air channels you get. You wouldn't have to pay for the local channels through one of the Sling TV packages. And it also puts Netflix in that same guide.
Oh, my gosh. So awesome. Also, isn't this different than their typical approach has been, we're a service that will play everywhere, and it still will be. Like,
yeah.
There's Sling apps and stuff like that, but this is like them saying, and also we'll have a hardware initiative where...
Yeah, basically they're like, you already got a Roku or a Fire TV or an Apple TV, fine. Subscribe to Sling and watch it on that. But if you don't, you might want to consider buying our box, especially if you get over-the-air channels and you're like, well, I don't want to have two separate boxes.
Yeah.
Because that's how people who don't want two separate boxes...
I was going to say, I hate those guys.
They're the worst, right? The worst. Yeah. So
I don't like boxes.
So this seems like it's not a direct answer to what the competition's doing over at DirecTV or the AT&T thing.
I mean, we're certainly starting to see the pressure of competition, right? Because you have DirecTV Now, which is available on Apple TV. It's not available yet on Roku, though apparently it's coming.
Yeah.
And it's had, you know, some hiccups in its launch, but it's got aggressive pricing, at least for now. You can get 100 plus channels for $35. Sling TV is available across more platforms, but it also doesn't have a cloud DVR, and it doesn't have the same lineup of channels that DirecTV has. And then PlayStation View, which I think a lot of people dismiss because they don't have a PlayStation, is available on the web.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's available on Roku. It's available on Apple TV. Like, they kind of should drop the PlayStation name out of there because it's confusing people. And it has cloud DVR. Its problem is it's a tad more expensive if you have local channels in your market. Yeah. And it doesn't have Viacom channels
right at the moment. And well, yeah, they had them and then they don't. And who knows, maybe they'll get them back. But I wish they just call it Sony View. It'd really cut down on the confusion, I think.
Yeah, because I've talked to several people who are like, oh, yeah, and I can't get you keep recommending PlayStation View, Merritt, but I don't have a PlayStation. I'm like, yeah, I don't watch it on my PlayStation. Yeah. They're like, what?
Right.
And then I'm like, what are you, one of those two set-top box people? Don't talk like that. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll consider it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to make an admission here. I don't normally like to put myself in a position where I look like a complete idiot, but I'm going to do it real quick. A couple of weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, it was you who made it so I understood that PlayStation View was on things other than PlayStations.
And I forgot you were one of those people.
And I was one of those people.
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
I've had that conversation many times.
And this is I'm a guy. I mean, this is why it's embarrassing. I have a PlayStation. I love video games. I follow this segment of the industry. I'm a huge cord cutter. Like, all this stuff's in my wheelhouse. And even I thought it was PlayStation exclusive and wished they would expand it out.
I mean, that's the problem they have. If someone like you who is paying attention is confused by that, the fact of the matter is most other people probably are as well.
Exactly. So, but the other funny thing is, once you explain that or once I understood that, I am ever closer to pulling the trigger on View versus the other services because I like what they do with their DVR. I like the selection of stuff. I actually like the integration in PlayStation because I do have a PlayStation. But if I'm going to get one of those kinds of services, it's currently the leader. And I wonder how many people would also feel that way if they just didn't have the confusion about what platform it was on.
Yeah, and the calculation that I do when I look at all these services is, what are the shows that I'm going to be able to watch through that service versus purchasing them from, say, Vudu or iTunes or Amazon?
Right.
And PlayStation View has enough of those shows for me that it makes perfect sense. For instance, last season of Star Wars Rebels, I added the kids package to Sling TV because just to watch Star Wars Rebels, it was cheaper to add that $5 a month package and watch Star Wars Rebels on demand than it would have been to buy all the episodes.
Right.
And this year I'm doing it on PlayStation View because Disney XD on PlayStation View has Star Wars Rebels, and I can DVR them. So I can actually watch them while they're still in the air. I don't have to wait till the next day. That was one of the problems with Sling. So it's even better. And I already was paying for PlayStation View for AMC. Mm-hmm. So that just brought my price down even more.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna do it. I always felt like it was...
You should at least do the trial. They do a 7-day free trial, I think, pretty standard.
I'll do that no matter what.
Yeah.
The bigger question for me was, like, am I sleeping with the enemy? And by that, I mean, am I not being a true cord cutter? And am I going back to a service that's full of commercials? And am I somehow betraying my original plan?
And that's why I make those calculations. Because to me, it's not a principle of, like, I won't give them my money if they are cable people. Wait, are they secretly cable people? It's more about, like, am I getting the value that I need?
Yeah.
And one of these services allows me to just turn something on, right? Yeah. Like, I just want to watch some sports. What are the sports that are on? Or I want to see a random movie. I don't want to have to pick. So PlayStation View, Sling TV, DirecTV Now, they all give you that. Mm-hmm. Then the question is, what other things do they give you that then make it worth it?
Yeah. And all three of these aren't doing big long-term contracts, right? You just
And that's the other huge advantage over cable is you turn them on 1 month, you turn them off. I've turned PlayStation View on and off a couple times.
I may have to do this. All right. You're like the little devil on my shoulder. Yes, Brian.
I use a service cable provider on a lot of websites. I was using it on MTV in different places, but the Viacoms went away. So as a cable provider, it is well supported on a lot of these different networks, websites that you go to and watch. I've enjoyed.
He's saying you can log in with your PlayStation account to the apps and websites of the networks.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Right? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. Well, that's also a nice added feature.
I watched like almost all the Simpsons doing that on the FFX.
Thing they do. Do they still do that? Are they constantly running those?
Yeah. Well, not always, but a lot of the time.
All right. Can they skip?
And here's the knock on PlayStation View is you can't watch things mobile when you're out of your house. Like almost all the channels are blocked. Some of them aren't. Mm-hmm. But almost everything is, this is mobile restricted. Whereas Sling TV and DirecTV Now, if you get it, you get it. Doesn't really matter where you are. And that's a huge advantage for some people. But the workaround for that, if you like PlayStation View for everything else, is what Brian's saying. You just log into the network apps and then you can watch their shows mobile. It's just a couple extra steps to do it.
Sure. And I guess it's, again, case by case. And maybe Sony will get around to making that part of their package, too.
It's all about the deals with the networks. The networks want to drive you into their universe when you're mobile, what it sounds like.
Sure. But what's nice is with all this new competition in streaming TV services, that means... I think just good for us as consumers. We're just going to get people pushing new features, not getting sitting on their laurels. Like all the reasons good competition is good for us. This is going to happen.
Lower prices, more features, you know, and this is what has been absent. And this is why I don't feel like, wait, are they secretly cable? In the United States, obviously, we're just talking about the U.S. at this point. This is nationwide competition for everyone. There's no like, well, I live in the Comcast neighborhood, so I can't switch to Spectrum. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody is available in every state.
Yeah.
Now, the features may vary because they have to have different local channel things. So you may not get ABC on your PlayStation View where you live because the local channel that serves you hasn't struck a deal with them. That part still can vary. But otherwise, the service is available nationwide. All you need is an internet connection.
Nice. Well, I feel like we've learned something today.
Wow.
From one Tom Merritt. I know. It's crazy.
Unintentionally.
Today, 2:30 Mountain Time will be when we are on the air doing DTNS. Very much looking forward to seeing you and Aaron. Then, in the meantime, though, anything else going on you'd like to talk about today? Push forward.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you're on audio, you can't see this, but I've got a little Director Krennic here. I've got a little Jyn Erso. Whoa. Got a little Captain Cassian and a K2SO. All in preparation for my recording of Pretend I'm Dumb About Star Wars Rogue One Edition.
Yes! I was going to ask if that was coming back for this, and it is.
Absolutely. I went and saw it a second time on over the weekend and took my notes. And so I've had lots of people asking. I'm flattered how many people have asked, like, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? One guy was even like, how are you going to do it? Are you going to pretend you've only seen the first three and put just slip it in? Which could be fun. But I think I'm going to stick to my original premise, which is I'm watching all of these for the first time. And so I'm going to go into it as if I've seen the first seven episodes, but I don't know anything else. And obviously, I might be confused that this one doesn't have an explanation or an episode number and what's going on and when am I and all of that.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I can't wait for that. Tell people where to go again. Where can they find it?
Oh, yeah. Go to TomMerritt.com and look for PIDASW, Pretend I'm Dumb About Star Wars, or on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AceDetect.
Nice. That's Ace Detect, Ace Detect with a D, everybody, in the middle, just in case. Sometimes you got to remind people.
Yeah.
Tom Merritt, always a pleasure. Ace Detect on Twitter as well. Take it easy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye now. All right, Brian Ibbett. Or Ibbett. No, Dunaway. Brian
Dunaway. It's okay.
Sorry, man. I got my brides mixed up. That's your show. We've done it. And well done. It's so, man, this is so much fun having you guest on here. I really enjoy it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the fan reaction over that week that you did it before, and I'm sure again today, has always been just like A1 positive. So you're a huge trooper for doing this, man.
Aw, thanks, guys. I love doing it. It's a lot of fun. And anything for Ibbett, man.
Yeah.
I want him to feel like he can relax and do his thing the best you can relax in such a situation.
Yeah, we got to, that's a guy we got to back up. Give him what he needs and make it happen. And I couldn't pick a better dude to do it.
I will not fart on his head.
No, you would never. You don't need to show dominance over a hill of dirt. Who needs that?
No.
Elephants do. That's who needs it. All right. Well, there you have it. Brian Dunaway, thank you so much. Anything you want to pimp, by the way, before we go? Like people should be checking you out?
Sure. Follow me on Twitter at TheBrianDunaway. And I've been doing some YouTube videos of me goofing around with some video games, especially on the Android apps. It's been fun. Just me sitting in my car during my lunch break. It's been about 5 minutes playing stupid games like Make More and
Nice.
Hungry Shark World. And
I liked Make More. I played Make More like furiously for about 5 days.
Yeah.
And then I stopped.
Yeah, I accomplished most of the achievements I want to accomplish. Yeah. Food Evolution, I've cycled through it a couple of times. Sure. The Evo games are kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that clicker genre stuff. I don't know why it gets under my skin, and then it leaves pretty quickly. But when I'm in it, exactly. I'm really into it. So anyway, well, all right, you and your Android fun, keep that happening.
Android fun time.
Of course, comicscoasttocoast.com. You can catch that show with Brian and Joel and others as they have rad artists come on and talk about their creations. And follow you on Twitter at TheBrianDunaway.
That's me.
Hey, everybody at home. Patreon.com/TMS is how we get supported on this show. If you like TMS and you want to see it grow and survive and thrive, that's the place to go to help out. We got lots of rad prizes and cool stuff to do there, so check it out. Patreon.com/TMS. Become part of our Slack group and everything else. It's awesome. Big thanks to AlphaGeekRadio.com for simul streaming today's program. You can find it live every day, well, most days, Monday through Thursday, at 8 a.m. Pacific. That's 9 p.m. or 9 a.m. Mountain Time. That's me. And you can find that over at twitch.tv/frogpants. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. We have it all listed right there. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Morning Stream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville, and, of course, at The Brian Dunaway. All right. I got a little song to play on the way out, dude.
Cool.
You excited to hear this? You want to hear this?
I am, but I want to say Merry Christmas, everybody, before I go, because it's probably the last podcast I'll be doing before Christmas time.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to you.
It won't be my last one, but it's close. There'll be an instance on Friday. There'll be, what is today?
Wednesday.
DTNS, and then Thursday I've got, there's no show tomorrow, by the way. Big news break. No TMS, no TMSPN tomorrow. We're taking it off for the holiday. There will be an instance on Friday and a new film sack posted Saturday. But I think that's like that's the programming week right there. I don't think there's much more beyond it. So yeah,
what
I'm with
more
Brian.
Could you ask for?
Have a hell of a happy Christmas, everybody, and spend time with family and friends, and eat well, and be well, and don't get sick, and shovel the walk.
Did you watch that movie?
Yeah, don't fart on your friend's head. That's the main thing. Don't watch. I mean, listen to Film Sack, but you don't have to watch Ernest Saves Christmas. I don't necessarily think they need to. Do you think?
You don't want, yeah, they have to. I mean, what choice do they have?
All right. It's a fair point. We're going to go out of here with a cover. It is a song called Deck the Stills. I don't know anything about it because Brian didn't send me any information.
Is it still drums, like all of it?
Well, it's the Bare Naked Ladies. We know them. They make music. And they did a version called Deck the Stills. It'll make sense why. It's part of their Bare Naked for the Holidays album. It's short, it's sweet. Here it is, and we'll see you guys after the holiday.
Cross Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. 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 Crosby.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Pancakes go good with grass.